Here, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Exodus chapter 19. We have just some time we want to give to this. Throughout this summer, I want to look at some of the stories of the Bible in such a way that it just gives us a clear understanding of what God and how God is working, and how he's been working throughout all of history, and how we can align ourselves to his purposes. Because God has a plan and he has a purpose for every single one of us from the very beginning, he always has, and we're a part of that plan, and he longs to have a relationship with us. And so what a wonderful thing it is to be able to step back in the midst of whatever it is that we're journeying through in our lives, whether it's mountaintop experiences, whether it's in just a normal day, or even if it's in those days whenever things are harder than we can imagine. And to know that if we'll trust him and as we surrender our lives to him, that he can take all the pieces of our lives, that that's what he does. He takes all the broken pieces, all our failures. He takes our weaknesses. He takes all of the blessings that he has brought into our lives, and he uses them for his glory and for our good. And he uses them to accomplish his purposes and his unfolding plan. And that news is so sweet to every single one of us. It doesn't matter if we're further along in this life or if we are more towards the beginning of the journey. It doesn't matter what has happened to us or what has happened because of us. God has a plan and he's working for the good of all those who love him. And this morning I want you to know that he loves you. As you can see on the front of the bulletin, it says treasured. This past week, it's been all about getting our kids to know that they are treasured, that he hears them, that he knows them, that he comforts them, that God forgives, that God chooses them. Those are the basic principles that we were just wanting to encourage our kids in this week. And today is Father's Day, and as we celebrate that, if there's anything that I've found to be true in my life, and it's probably the best gift that I could have received from my father, and what I hope to be true for what I can give to my kids, is that they would know that they are loved no matter what, that they are treasured. And what a gift that is what our Heavenly Father has given us, that he wants us to know that. And so this morning as we look at this passage, that's my goal as we look at this, is to hear this familiar, passages and a story about how God's working with his people and how he has expressed and shown his love to them, and then how in his love he wants to say, hey, here's how you can enjoy a blessed relationship with me by going through and looking at Exodus chapter 20 a little bit. And so if you're in Exodus chapter 19, let's start at verse 2, and here's what we're told. God's people, they're traveling and they're setting out into the wilderness. And it says, they set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai. And they encamped in the wilderness. And there Israel encamped before the mountain. And while Moses went up to God, the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. Here's the deal. From the very beginning, in the very beginning of all of creation, everything was perfect. Everything was the way that God intended it to be, that God created it to be. But in Genesis 3, something happens, and this is whenever sin enters into the world. And it changed everything. It ruined God's vision. It separated us from him. And really, sin, it separates us from each other also. But because God is full of grace and mercy, that's not the end of the story. God longs for a relationship with his people. And in this passage, to hear God's heart for his people. Just look at verse 4. He says, remember what I've done for you, how I brought you to myself. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. He doesn't want them to miss that. He doesn't want them to forget it. And he's saying here, I have rescued you and I have delivered you and I have redeemed you. Is it because of any goodness or whatever on your part? No. The reason is because he loves them and he longs to have a relationship with him. And he's saying here, as I'm longing for this relationship with you, there are some things that I want you to know that are really important about how you ought to live your life and that are required. And so in verse 5, he says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant," he's saying, if you want to enjoy this blessed relationship with me, which God has already shown that he wants to have a relationship with them, then there are some ways that his people must relate with him and each other. And so as we move into the next chapter, we begin to get a picture of what that looks like. And here in chapter 19, as you look through there, he begins to lay out and we get to get an understanding of the holiness of God, as some specific directions are given on how the people are supposed to stay away from the mountain. Because if they're going to touch it, then they're going to die. He's holy. He is set apart. God is like no other. He's not like us, and we can't think that we can dictate how things are going to go, or God, you should do this or that, but that we must surrender ourselves to him. And so in Exodus 20, God gives Moses these 10 commands on how they ought to live, and we talk about them as the 10 commandments. And maybe at some point as a kid and you list or reading through these things, or maybe at some point in life and you're like, oh, but that seems fun or that seems enjoyable, and you just maybe, and this is just putting a damper on my life because I want to participate in some kind of activities and it seems fun and enjoyable. Or maybe that's the view of the Christian life for some. But we can't forget the context of where these are coming from. They're coming from the heart of a loving Father who cares for them and wants the best for them. The other week, Noah and I, we took a trip out to Yosemite, and we got to see some beautiful sights like Rachel's going to throw some up, like this is just beautiful. This is there in Yosemite Valley, looking up at the Yosemite Falls, and this next one is just another view of this valley and the huge rocks that that's there. It's just a beautiful thing. And what's the next one, Rachel? I can't remember what it is. So there we are, Noah and I, just hanging out at the bottom and getting a picture in front of these falls. And the next day we had one of our greatest memories was getting to hike up to the top of those falls. And so it was a big, long hike. And so, Pat and Lenny, you're really into hiking. Got to go tackle this. And we got to go up to the top and you get this beautiful view looking out over it all. And you're going too fast, Rachel. It's killing my story. And so we get up there to the top, and we're like, and we're talking about there are ways that we have blessed relationship. So we're up really high, like really high. If you fall, like on the other side of that rock, if you go, you're done, kind of thing. And so I wanted to get out to where the falls were actually going over, and it's just right down there, kind of thing from that picture. And I'm going down, and Noah, he goes a little bit. He's like, all right, I'll wait for you up here. And I'm like, come on, Noah. And so anyhow, we go down, and there's these little steps, and it's just this little, pipe that they've installed in the side of these rocks just so you have something to hold on so you can go down a little bit further and get a little bit more exciting. But there's, at least they're saying that this is the way that you want to go. Now, you know, there's all these people who think, oh, I don't need to follow this. I know better. And so then you got this guy, this next one, right here. And the falls are right there. And he's like, you can't see it in that little picture probably, but he's holding his cell phone because he wants to get a picture. And then he goes and he does the whole selfie thing. And he's right there. And I tell you, it's dangerous. He could have gone, and some people have. And then you go down. What's the next picture, Rach? Down here, you see that? Right there, there's just a little bit of, you know, they put some guardrails up there so that you don't fall to your death. And so it's like that, right? Like, there's these things as a father who loves your children, you're going to put, and you're going to try to encourage them and tell them, like, you don't want to do this. You don't want to go here. You don't want to go into this because you want them to experience the best that there can be for them and for them to enjoy that. And in the same way as God's sharing these commands with them, he's saying it's coming from a heart of love. He loves them and he knows what's best, and for his glory and for their good, he says you got to follow these if you want to experience the blessed life. And so here the first four are about how we are to treat God, and so here's what they are in verse 1, chapter 20. He again reminds them of who he is and how he loves them, and he says this once again to remind them of that, and God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It's like he's saying, as you hear these that are coming, these are coming from one who loves you. And he says in verse 3, you shall have no other gods before you. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness or anything of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commands. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. And so that's all about relating with him. And now here in the second half of the commandments, they deal with how we're supposed to relate with each other as a part of the redeemed community. And he says this, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. Guys, as you read that, he wants what's best for them. He loves them. And he's saying, here's how you need to live if you're going to experience the best that I have for you. And maybe as you've read down through this list and you've gone throughout life, maybe to this point, and you're like, man, that's good. There's no way that I can live like that. And you're right. There isn't any way that any of us can live that way except for his grace and his help. And so while Moses is up spending time with God, we're told even in Exodus chapter 32 that the people are already breaking his commands. If you turn over to that just there in the first, let's read it, first 8 verses. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, what are the people doing? The people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. And so Aaron said to them, take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Don't they remember what God had just done for them? Don't they remember how he had rescued them? What they just experienced? The Red Sea had just parted so they could walk through it on dry land. And now what are they doing? They're there worshiping a golden calf, creating another idol or god for themselves to worship. And the truth is, the reality is, maybe for us at times, more so than others in our lives, whenever we're not unlike them in a lot of ways. He's delivered us. God has rescued us. But there we go, and we're chasing after this, and we're chasing after that. And giving our attention to these things, and which in a sense, we're worshiping those things. God sees what's going on, and God's not going to be with a rebellious people. And though he loves them and has rescued them, we're told that he is just ready to wipe them out. Look at that verse 9, chapter 32. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. And so let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and that I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you. He's had enough. But his grace is more. and his love is more. If you ever wonder if there's power in prayer, this week we're asking you to pray. Look what happens here in verse 11. Chapter 32, but Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. As he's praying, as he's crawling out to God and he's talking with him, he's saying, remember this. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore. And he's just reminding him in a sense. And he's saying, you promised. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. Moses is crying out and he's interceding for his people. It's like they're just... Moses, he's like, remember, you said this, God. And he's in a sense saying, I trusted you, and I'm trusting you to come through on that. It's like my kids when they come to me and I forgot I said something. You said this, Dad. You said you were going to get me this. And what does God do? Verse 14, and the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. That's God. His grace is more. Even in all of his holiness, he loved his people and he desired for them to be in relationship with him. He kept all his promises. He did exactly every single thing of what he said he was going to do. And now he's come, and even whenever they're rebellious, even whenever they're disobedient, even whenever they've gone and done their thing, where's our God? But he is gracious. And he is there still longing to have relationship with them. And he is going the distance and more to have that relationship. And it goes on, and we know the story. He says here, I want to come and dwell amongst you. And so here I'm going to give you some instructions on to creating and building this tabernacle so that I can be in your midst. And there's these specifications that I have that need to be in place. And then there's this sacrificial system that's put in place so that then every day, continuously sacrifices are being made. And the need for the sacrifice there reveals how big of a deal sin is between humanity and a holy God. Over and over, God is doing all that he can so that he can get his people back because he loves them, because they are so treasured. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 4 through 8, God once again, he's just declaring who he is. And we already read this morning in Psalm 145, but this is what we're told there in Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7. The Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, this is who he is, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. I want to come back to chapter 19, where we started. Just look at that verse 4. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. He's saying, remember what I've done and now obey my commands. Listen to me, and if you will, then you shall be my treasured possessions among all the people, for all the earth is mine. This morning, I want you to know that he loves you, that he desires to have a relationship with you, with every single one of us. He doesn't want anyone to perish so much because he so loves the world. But secondly, I want you to know that there is a way to live. There is a way to live this life, and a way to honor the Lord, and a quick summary of that is given there in the Ten Commandments that we read through this morning. But with that said, there isn't a single one of us who can live that perfect life. Maybe you think you can, but you can't. We're all sinners. And it doesn't matter how hard you try or try to get rid of it. There is no way that you can on your own. You can't get your way out of the situation to keep things moving We're all sinners, and that sin is a barrier between us and God. In the Old Testament, there was this need for constant sacrifices being made to atone for the sins of the people. But as we come to the New Testament, here's the good news, right? Jesus is there. And Jesus pays the ultimate sacrifice once and for all. It's all done. Hebrews 10, verses 11 through 14, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins, but Jesus. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." And so this morning, for every single one of us, whether you're further along in life or whether you're closer to the beginning of the journey, never forget, never doubt that in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through, God's amazing and undeserved love for us and how he longs to be with us. And we're reminded of this amazing truth that if we turn in faith and repentance to Jesus, that he'll wash away all of our sins, that he'll come and he'll dwell in us, that he'll help us and he'll carry us through. Rachel, you can throw up that last picture now. As I sat there looking over from this glacier point up to the top view, looking down in Yosemite, these pictures, they don't do justice to the view, right? You know, it looks so much way bigger, better, all those things and that, but that just gives you an idea. And Noah and I were sitting there just on this ledge looking out across, and all I could think, well, there's a lot of things I could think of, but I'm just thinking of things that God's just, what's he have to say? It's like all these things, when you're down in the valley, you can only see not much. Maybe you can see the tree in front of you if you're down there in the woods. And those big trees, they're big. But from here, you can see a whole lot of stuff. You can see the snow-capped mountains in the distance, who knows how many miles away. You can see how this ridge is coming over here. You see that waterfall over there, this, you know, everything. And you see so much, and it's a whole different view. And maybe whenever right now we're in the midst of just standing down there in the valley and you can't see much and you don't know how this is going to work out or how that's going to work out, but from this vantage point, which is God's vantage point, right? He can see everything and he understands and he sees how it's all working and the amazing thing is not only does he get the big view, but he has the view of every single thing in the midst of it too. And that's our loving Father who is well aware of all of that, who cares for us, and he can see it all. And so today, this morning, that's just the encouragement I want us to leave with, is that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and he treasures us. And earlier this week, or in the past week, I got to see Juanita work it over with, sorry to call you out, one of my boys was having a tough time one morning. And he felt like someone said something to him that wasn't quite right. And she went out there and she just preached it at him. Is that true? That's not true. You are loved and you are treasured. And I just sat there and I listened and it blessed me a lot. And that's what we all need to hear, right? That's who we are. We're treasured and we're loved by our Heavenly Father. And so don't forget it. Let's pray and let's close. And then we got a little treat for you here at the end. Right? All right. Okay. Our Father in heaven, thank you. God, we thank you for your amazing love and your grace and your mercy. And God, we are humbled and we just rest in and we fully depend on you. And so, Lord, you know the needs that are in our midst. You know the loss. You know the concerns, you know, the things that are coming up that are causing us to just be a little unsettled. And so, Lord, it's your goodness and it's your kindness and it's your love for us that is the only way that we can have comfort and hope and peace and joy in our lives. And so, Lord, we thank you for how you have demonstrated that to us in so many ways, but most clearly, in the lengths that you went by sending your one and only Son to die on the cross for us so that we might be saved. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, to close out our service today, we have the treat of getting to have some of our kids come and sing for us.